about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes it does.
Amen. Not today for our children, not today for our marriages, not today for our jobs, not today for the house of God. Amen. Not today, Satan. Amen. For any accidents, we're doing divine escapes. Amen. Thank God for all that he has done. Are you ready for what's next? Say amen. Okay, we have a powerful song by Sister Victoria. Give her a round of applause, Sister Victoria.
I've been a Christian for so many years, serving the Lord and working in the church. Now I have a greater passion to love my Lord. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. God is so great, yet he seems so far. When I talk to him, it seems that he doesn't even hear. How can I love God whom I cannot see? This is my dream, the goal of my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. To love you more is the great command. Lord, I want to love you more. Show me how to love you more. I don't want to serve without loving you. If any man really loves me, he will keep my commandments. Lord, I am meditating on your word so I could love you more. Yeah, please help me to keep your commandments. What have you told me that I'm not doing? Where have you sent me that I'm not going?
First, and also for choosing me first. I want to love you by as hard as I can because you love me first. I want to be just like Jesus, he who loved the Father so. I know that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. days I give to thee. Oh, to love you, Lord, is a great man. Lord, I want to love you more, fall in love with you so deep. Lord, show me how to love you more. Oh, I don't want to serve without loving you. Oh, Lord, show
to love us. Amen. Love him. Amen. Well, if you've been praying with us, we've been praying for the presence of God. Amen. Now that we have the presence of God, I read in the Bible in Zephaniah where he said, the Lord God in the midst of thee is mighty. Amen. And we know where two or three are gathered in the midst, Jesus is with us. His presence is here. And now that you have your the full attention of the Almighty God, the energy that you're going to give to the Super Bowl this afternoon, I want you to bring that same energy. I want you to pay attention to the powerful pastor that he's given us. I want you to expect a miracle. Please be on your feet and welcome our prophet, our daddy, the man of this house, Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
Father, may we glorify your name. Oh, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, oh yes, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, oh yes, we'll be blessed because we give. We'll be blessed because we came. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Oh, give him a better clap, a better shout. We bless your name, Father. We thank you. We adore you. You're so precious to our lives. Your presence is everything to us. We come with excitement. Not with mumblings and complainings and grumblings. We are blessed to be in your presence. Your word says, blessed is the man that you choose. And you cause that man to approach unto you so that he will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even of your holy temple. May your goodness be manifested. May your goodness be ministered to us. Lord, serve us. Let the angels serve us with your goodness until we are satisfied May your goodness satisfy us to the full. May your presence bring us the pleasures evermore. We welcome you, Master Holy Spirit. We curse every plan of Satan. And we declare that we are in the presence of our Father. Your word says we call people to share fellowship with us. But indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ, his Son. Thank you for gracing this occasion with your presence. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall say amen.
Amen.
Oh, can you encourage somebody with a smile? Encourage, Prisaya, encourage me with a smile. Prisaya, your smile is not big enough. I want a bigger one. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Before I spank you, clap for the Lord Jesus. If the smile is not big, tell the person, make it bigger. Make it bigger. If that's Sylvia, make it bigger. Make it nicer. Uh-huh, now you're talking. God bless you all. That's how much bigger, 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 bigger. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. You want to dance again? It's okay, sit down. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's preaching time. Where's Brother Prince? Okay. You left me ajar. It's a blessing. Well, I'm excited to be here. Clap for the Lord Jesus. When we were beginning the fast, I told you, for those of you who are fasting, when you are dying, call me. I received no phone call. So those of you who didn't fast, we are not dead. You see, but you, we are more alive than you. Yeah. Our spirit, which is our real us, is alive. As strong as it has ever been, and stronger. Amen. You see, when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. See, that's what has become of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Bible says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. The glory is the presence, the Shekinah presence of God. What has happened over the last 3 weeks is that we have subjected ourselves to the presence of God. And let me tell you, when anybody subjects himself or herself through fasting and prayer for a period, what happens is you subject yourself to the presence of God. And the Bible says you are changed. You are never the same. Anybody who fasted, you are not the same. Yeah. You are changed. You see, the people that didn't fast, you are feeling guilty. Don't worry. You don't have to feel guilty. You just have to repent. Repent. Guilty is not repentance. You can feel guilty and not repent. You see, don't feel guilty. Just repent. Guilt is something that the devil imposes on us. But repentance is of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Guilt doesn't change anybody. Repentance is called U-turn. Repentance. You see, God, when he brings you correction, he's not making you feel guilty. He's making you turn around. That's what Adam and Eve couldn't do. They just felt guilty and walked away. But Jesus, when he came, he said, the message was repent and be saved. Repent. Yeah. Real Christians, they don't make you feel guilty. I don't just preach to you and you go home so sad without any remedy for correction. That's why anybody who doesn't like correction, you are not a godly person. Yeah. Correction is of God. Bible says, even he chastens you to correct you. Them that he loves, he chasteneth. See, when you see a child being spanked by the father, don't sit down and say, this is abuse. You are of the devil if you call it abuse. Yeah. It's correction. Do you think he wanted to kill the child? If he wanted to kill the child, you would not be there to see. We will know how to kill our children easier. We know when they sleep. We know what they eat. We know how to manipulate their food if we want to kill them. And you know. Yeah. So if you feel that a child being spanked is being killed, then you don't know child upbringing. Yeah. The Bible says foolishness is bound to the heart of a child. And the rod of abuse. God is calling the rod of correction and you are calling the rod of abuse. By the way, parents, when you are beating your child, don't do it in anger. When you are very angry, wait. Wait. When your anger goes away, then you call and discuss the issue. You see, when I talk to my child, I say, you know what? When I'm very angry, I go away. And to the phone day, I said, yesterday, the thing you did, let's discuss it. And he said, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is it. This is the implication. If I'm a good father, which is like God, and I'll show the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, that God says that if a father chastens a father, the child who loves, and anybody who is not chastised is a bastard. I said, are you a bastard? Do you have a father? Do you know your father? Who is your father? They point to me. I said, because of me, you are not a bastard. So I'm going to show you what happens to people who are not bastards. It's in the Bible. God, when he accepts you and you are no longer a bastard, he chastens you. Yes. He said, you have forgotten the exhortation which speak unto you. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord and faint not when you are rebuked of him. Then go, I'm talking at the place where there's a bastard. You put something else there. But then I discuss with them. Then I spank them. And they understand the spanking. You know, the way I'm talking in love, you think I won't spank you. But I'm calm. So when I say I'm going to give you 5, you will get 5. It will be love 5, but you feel the pain. Any spanking that the child doesn't feel the pain, you the parent, you are not a good parent. Oh, yeah. And no, it's true. Even God says, you see that, but if you are without chastisement and you are, when others are partakers, then you are a bastard, not a son. It's in the Bible. And it says the pain, at the moment is painful, but later on, it bringeth forth but the better fruits. Okay, so pain is something I inflict intentionally on my children when they misbehave. The Bible says that the rod of correction, foolishness is bound to the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will send it far from him. If you don't do it, you will live with the rod of correction. You wouldn't be the one to punish. They'll be punished at school. That may mean kicking them out. If the school doesn't do it, the law will do it. That may mean jail sentence. If they don't do it, they may get married, and then the spouse will be punishing you. Secretly, you'll be surprised. A whole lot of people, if they don't, even at their workplace, they'll be punished. It means being kicked out. All that is being prevented, and God knows it. Hallelujah. How did we get here? How did we get to this one? Repent. It's supposed to let them change so that they don't go to jail, to repent, to turn around from their wicked ways, from their evil ways. So don't let anybody, some of you speak to make the person feel guilty. If you love the person, you will not just say things. You are like this. That's accusation. But you show the person, this is not good because of this, this, this. And then next time, do it this way. Uh-huh. Today, God is going to help you to change your way. Amen. In Jesus' name. God is going to help you to change your way. Amen. Do you want to hear what God wants to say? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. How many love God? Yes. How do you know? How do you know? Let me tell you something. When I say that I come to Sion and I say I love you, and then I said, I'm going to prove it to you that I love you. And I bring a microphone to her. This, I love you, so I'll give you a gift of microphone. Sion, sincerely, if it's your birthday and I bring you a microphone, will you feel that I love you? Microphone, what are you going to do with it? Don't tell the truth now. What are you going to do with this microphone? Are you a preacher? Do you have a PA system in your house that you can use? No. What will make you feel that I love you?
Give me something that I want.
Wow. Love is defined by the person you want to express love toward. Not you who's giving the love. So I come and impose my microphone on you as because I love you. But you immediately I leave, you just throw it away. Because that's not love. But what will make you feel? What would you choose?
Chocolate.
Wow. So if I buy Golden Tree chocolates, I'm coming from Ghana, I buy Golden Tree chocolates, and I bring to her, she will hug me and say, Pastor really loves me. Meanwhile, I don't like Golden Tree chocolate. I don't like it. I really don't. What I like is the chocolate from Switzerland. Yes. But I don't like Golden Tree. But because she likes it, I'll buy it for her. Love. What I mean is that if you love God, you do it the way, the thing that makes him feel that you love him. And I'm going to show you one thing. Yeah. When he was leaving, he asked, do you love me? John 21 from verse 15. John 21 from verse 15. I'm talking about our year of the shepherd, our year of shepherding. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So when they had eaten or they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, remember, Simon was the person that Jesus said, you, I have chosen you, and Simon, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Simon said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but the Father which is in heaven. Now, everybody that the Father reveals that Jesus is the Christ is a type of Simon Peter. Yes, because that's the basis upon which Simon Peter was changed. Jesus gave him a new name like Christ. He said, upon this, the fact that you say, he said, who am I? Ask the people, who am I? They said, some say, then they say, you disciple, who am I? Then Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what is being born again? Accepting Jesus Christ as the Christ, the Son of the living God in your heart and surrendering your life. So Peter said, Then upon this, this is how Jesus forms his church. He builds his church from people who have the faith that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah. Anybody who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you become a foundation for building the church. Amen. So I pray that all of us here believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you don't believe, you may be in the church, but you are not a Christian. You are not born again. You are not part of God's church, truly. It's just like going to McDonald's. You are not a burger. You have to change to become a burger. You see? So, all of us here who believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we are like Peter. And when Jesus speaks to Peter, he's speaking to you. He's speaking to, because that name Peter is born on that change. So anytime you see Peter in the Bible, put yourself there. Yeah. You are supposed to be building his church, a basis for building his church. Church is not meant to build our lives. No, it's to build the kingdom of God. And that is when your life is built. Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you do that first, as your primary reason for being in church, all other things are added. Let me tell you something. Many of the prayers that we pray, if we just sought the kingdom of God first, we wouldn't need to pray those prayers. Yeah. If God is God, and you watch it, most people that need a lot of things, they don't care about the kingdom of God. Let the church become those that care, seek first. Priority is number one to you. You've left everything for this pastor who is also working like you. I work, you work. Monday, you see me also sweating. I'm in my scrubs like you. But I've made the kingdom of God my priority. Peter was a fisherman, but he made the work of God his priority.
That's right.
And the same Peter, let me tell you the basis of this story, said, John 21, let me tell you something. I'm going to show you something. Remind me, when I finish reading to verse 17, and I tell you what shows that you love God, remind me, Pastor, show us something like you said. And the something is about fish. Remind me, because I have a tendency, once I keep moving, I'm moving. John 21, verse 15. The Bible says, so when they had dined, I'll tell you where the food came from. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Tell me, I'll show you what this means. It is a fish. The fish they were eating. Yeah. It's a food. Then he said to him, yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus, I'm sure that he laughed. He said to him, then feed my lambs. Then, verse 20, verse 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him again, yeah, Lord, you know, thou knowest. Come on, no, Jesus, are you becoming demented or something? I just told you I love you. You're just 33, come on. You know that I love you. He said to him, then feed my sheep. Then, verse 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? When somebody asks you third time that you love me, then that thing is very important. Then it means he probably thinks you don't get it. You don't get what I mean by. Then he said, do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying if you love me, the thing that will prove that you love me is feed. Jesus said again, feed my sheep. Then Simon had actually said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. Jesus still insisted and did not get moved by the fact that Simon was getting angry. He said, feed my sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody who loves God, one of the things you will do if you want to hear what Jesus sees as love, you see, also you love him, said, feed my sheep. Feed, that word is shepherd my sheep. It comes from the Greek word bosko. Bosko. B-O-S-K-O, but with some accent aigu and interrogation, those who speak French. Mm-hmm. Now, it means to bosco his sheep. Who are God's sheep? God's people. He told Jesus Christ told him, I came to die for all this world. I've gotten a few people. I have to die and go. Upon this rock, I have built my church. The gates of all hell will not prevail against it. I built it upon Peter's, upon believers. But as I'm going, who's going to take care of these people? Who's going to take care of them? We've gathered them all here. I've paid the price for them. I've shed my blood for them. Now I'm going. I've sent the Holy Spirit. Who is going to take on the Holy Spirit and take care of these people? Will you do it? Peter, will you do it? Peter, will you do it? Peter, will you do it? And he told, if you love me, you will do it. If you don't love me, you won't do it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think that loving God means, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord. You are love. Those gyrations of your voice, staccato and all those things, it levels don't mean anything. Sometimes even birds can sing better than us. Parrots can be taught to say, I love you all, I love you, Lord. But, listen, Hitler, when he was killing the Jews, he sang for them as he was sending them to the gas chamber to kill them, millions. Songs are great, but except they come from the heart of love, demonstrated love. Bible says, love not in words, but rather in deed. In action. And for Jesus, one major expression of love is when you care, you take care, you shepherd his sheep. You bosco. Clap for the Lord. Bosco. Amen. Bosco. Ladies and gentlemen, we want God lovers, not money lovers in the church. We want God lovers, not car lovers in the church. All God lovers will ride in nice cars anyway. Amen. All God lovers will have financial success anyway. Amen. Do you know how I know? That word Bosco means to defend the sheep, to care for the sheep, to make food for the sheep, to comfort the sheep, to love them, care for them, take care of them, to be tender to. Let me tell you something. If you come to this church and you are only about yourself, you are not a lover of God. Serious. I know you're arguing with me in your mind because you say you love God. But by what he assesses as love, it's your definition that's making you. Your definition is, the last time I went to a church member, and as I was taking care of the church member, loving, take, like shepherding, if you really love the sheep of the Lord, number one, you bring the people to their father. You know, any Christians are supposed to be like babysitters. The Father himself, through Jesus Christ, came to collect them together and is still collecting them together, winning souls. When you go and you win souls, God has just given birth to another sheep. And then he gives you the spirit to take care of them. Just like a father, what it takes to take care of church members, you don't have it. No babysitter has what it takes to take care of the children of whoever mother employed them. They don't buy their own food. They don't pay their own way. The food is brought by the mother. Sometimes my wife, when she was younger and she had the babies, she would express the breast milk and put them in freezers. And then when the babysitter comes, they have to thaw it and then warm it. They had these special warmers. And then feed them. The babysitter does not even have breast milk. And all my children would eat was breast milk. Listen, if you don't have what it takes to take care of the children of God, don't worry. God will provide it. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Don't think about, I cannot do it. Anytime you say, I cannot do it, look at the babysitter that took care of your children or the babysitter you will employ, whether they express breast milk. You are the one who has the breast milk. He takes care of his own. As I'm doing this thing here, I do not have any capability of taking care of you. But his spirit was given to us. It's like breast milk given to take care of. Anybody who just applies yourself to be part of the shepherding team, people that take care of the church members. I'm not talking about taking care of the cleaning. That's extra. One church member told me, Pastor, you are extra. The mother of that person is laughing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Pastor, you are extra. Yesterday, I called that person in love. And after I counseled the person and talked, we laughed. I said, oh, it's been a long time since you told me I'm extra. It's like you are too much. Listen, the fish, yeah? I'm coming there. Listen, so any of you who signs up to take care of the children of God, you are a true lover of God. Amen. I'm serious. And God knows those who love him. Better believe it. When you get to heaven, what will matter is how much of that burden of taking care of God's people did you take on to yourself? Not how much of your own burden. Your problems, they are few, eh? What you think is big. You carry the people of the Lord and see. Let me tell you about the fish. What led to this love? Jesus Christ had died for the whole world, including Peter and the disciples that he was working with. They were in Jesus' church. Jesus had been attacked and killed and had traveled to heaven. Do you know what the disciples did? They abandoned the children of God. They abandoned the children and they went, each of them, seeking for fish. They all left. Just like some of you, if I decided I work at Indiana I decided to stay there and start another church. Many of you may easily decide you're not coming to this church. God forbid. God forbid. So, the question is, just like here, if I say that, look, I'm going to equip you to now grow that. My job, I've put this church together by the grace of God. But now, the next level of expansion is your prerogative, your duty. Just as I have come, Jesus Christ, as he had come to teach them how to win souls, I'll make you fishers of men. He was expecting every one of them to become like him. Everybody here must have at least 3 sheep, 4 sheep, 7 sheep. If you want to be exactly like Jesus, 12 sheep, 12 disciples must follow you. Everyone must aim at having 12 people actually this year by the grace of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Because we read 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we are made in the image of God day by day if the Spirit of God is inside of you. Yeah. Your aim must be have 12 people you are taking care of this year. 12. If there's any good New Year resolution is this. Let me tell you the thing that will prevent you from doing it is the fish. The fish that you need to eat. That he himself can give you is the fish. The most potent antagonist that works against your primary role to love Jesus and to take care of his sheep, bring sheep and take care of them is your personal ambition. Is the fish that you want, your hunger, your thirst for things, for fish, for food, for cars, for rent. That's the biggest thing that stands between you and your performance of your function for Jesus in love. I'm telling you. Let me prove it to you. Verse 1. John 21 from verse 1. Jesus Christ had died, had gone. Look at, he came back. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. I was there. And this is how. I said, you will be there in Jesus' name. Amen. This is how he did it. Verse 2. In this wise. There were together Simon, Peter, Thomas, and all. The disciples were all together. And 2 other disciples. Then verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, you know, I'm going fishing. They also said to him, we are going with you. Jesus has died. Car, your Chinese eyes are coming. You're not Chinese, so open your eyes. Now, listen, they said Jesus had been working with them, building the church with them, telling them that he's going to go. And immediately Jesus leaves. They say that, oh, we are going back to our fishing. I have things to do. I got things to do. Do you remember when Jesus saw them the first time, Matthew 4:19, they were fishing. He says, come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They had forgotten that the role was fishers of men. Ladies and gentlemen, Rene, God's first impression when he got you born again has not changed. The primary commission has not changed. He called them, Matthew 4, he said to them, they were fishing. Go to verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. God already knows your profession, eh?
That's right.
He knows you are a doctor. He knows you are a student. He knows you are a housewife. He knows you are a policeman. He knows you don't even have a job. But he still says, come, follow me. In spite of the fact, not that somebody told him they were fishermen. He saw them fishing and still said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I will just change your focus into something real. Fishers of men. Shepherds are fishers of men. Christians, all Christians are supposed to be fishers of men. That job, Jesus did it, but has left it for us to do. Any church that is not preaching that is making you backslide. has forgotten when the first pope was drawn, that you, based on you, we are building people a team around you. Jesus told him exactly why he's building the team and what they should be doing. And then, unfortunately, Peter, when Jesus left him, or let's say when they leave church, when people leave church, they say, I go a fishing. And all of us follow, we go a fishing too. What do you do, Rashad? When you leave the presence of God, as it were the church, what do you do? Do you go a fishing? Now look at what Jesus said about it. Simon, I go a fishing. When the pastor of the church tells you that from here, you're on your own, there's nothing about Jesus, the pastor is behaving this way, a backslidden Peter. Yeah. And when a pastor does that, everybody does that. When a pastor does not preach about going fishing for men, every congregation member follows. We live here and that's it. No business about church. Nothing about Christ. Nothing about the Lord. That was Peter. That explains why the church is in the state that it is. A church does not care anymore about shepherding, about souls, about soul winning, because the pastor or the Peters are saying, from here, I'm going. Nothing's personal ambition. All about your things, the things, your marriage, about your children, about your car, about finances. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem, the fault of Peter. And Jesus is now doing midstream correction and telling the same Peter, do you love me? Do you hear, see what you're doing to the sheep? Do you see what you're doing to the church that I'm starting with you? You are the reason why. I'm going to get there. But Peter went, said, I'm going. Look, I have to take care of my family. I have to take care of myself. I said, Jesus cannot take care of him. So they went forth and they entered a ship immediately. Now listen to what happened. And that night they caught nothing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. They caught nothing. There's a reason why when you follow Peters who are aimless, when a church is led by pastors who promise, let's go, we'll get fish, you can usually get nothing. It's empty prophecies, I'm telling you. Empty prophecies. Empty prophecies. Empty prophets. The church becomes poor and the people become poor. Our church is not poor by the grace of God. And you will not be poor in Jesus' name. Reason, not because we are so good, but because we understand this principle that when a Peter leads a people all about just modern biological and carnal life, they usually get nothing. Empty prophecies. I see you doing this. I see, but what do you see? You don't see anything. Only he sees it. This is the reason. This is the reason. Look at our bishop, medical doctor, who has dropped his agoa fishing thing. And he's led all of us that come along. We can go fishing for souls. That's how come a doctor like me, when I get a job in Memphis, the next thing I do is, where are the fishes of men? Where are the men? And I go gathering. If I had come there, I know of my friends who live an empty life because they go a fishing. When they moved to another city, that's it. It was finished with the Lord, finished with ministry, finished with caring for the sheep. No shepherding. And some of us, when we have an opportunity to shepherd, and then we get an opportunity where there's no shepherd, that's when we take it. The day you make a decision that, look, I'm going out fishing, therefore I'm going to leave what seems to be personal to me, you catch more fish than ever. Listen, let me tell you what happened. I pray that I don't lead you and just tell you about carnal things, about your shoes, about your marriage only. And if I don't link it to the kingdom, I'm doing the wrong thing. If I don't teach you that it's the kingdom that will make... As for the things, like I told you, in heaven, gold is something that you drop. It's just rocks. It's just gravels. This is gravels. This is gravels. This is just gravels. This is just gravels. You may call it diamond, you may call it gold, but it's gravels, it's stones. Nothing. If I lose this thing and I keep serving the Lord, shepherding this, he will give me another one. You watch it. Amen. Yeah, you watch it. Ring is nothing, eh? It's nothing. It's nothing. Jacket is nothing. Jesus even told them, when you are going, don't think about wearing coat or anything. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Everything that you need, I'll provide it. And he's right. Peter, let them, pastors that only lead you about your to be selfish, all about you, not about Christ. They take your love away from Jesus. To love, and the Bible says, in the last day, men shall be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. I should teach you the Antichrist era program, eh? I won't. And if that's the reason why you leave the church, good night. Yeah. Let me tell you, so long as you're in this church, you're going to roll up your sleeves. You put your hand to the plow. We are all going to be the shepherds together. Otherwise, you catch nothing. Let me tell you what happened, how things changed in their lives. How things changed. And Bible says they caught nothing that night. Verse 3. They caught nothing. Where is it? Verse 3. Simon Peter said to him, I go out fishing. They said also unto him, we also follow you. We're going fishing. We're thinking of our business. We're going to work. Forget about the work of the Lord. Forget about fishes. Man. They went forth and entered the ship immediately. They didn't even wait. Immediately you leave the church straight away. Job, the mind about souls is even nothing. Thank you. You see, my drink came back because I'm preaching about Christ. Yeah, it will come back. It will come back in a better form. Came back and I had even a friend with it. Yeah, see it as a prophecy. Whatever it is that you have lost, as you seek the Lord, may it return in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. And Bible says, and that night they caught nothing. Let's see how things change. Verse 4. But when the morning now came, Jesus stood at the shore. He said, I'll give you another chance. See that shore? But the disciples did not know that that was Jesus. Just as I'm standing here, giving you another chance as loving God, but you may not believe that I am speaking by Jesus Christ's Spirit. Yeah. You don't believe. So most Christians, they don't like churches that talk about the work of God, that talk about soul winning, because it's not. This cannot be the gospel. This cannot be the gospel. This cannot be the truth. Tell us about shoes. Tell us about marriage. Tell us about money. Money. One person preach. Money, come now. Money, come. What are some of the topics? Money, come now. What are some of the topics? What? Bigger house tomorrow. Bigger house tomorrow. That's the title of my sermon. I bring a sermon. Bigger house tomorrow. Next one. 21 steps to making money small. You will be married tomorrow. That's a message. Yeah. Find the money in church. Oh, find the man in church. Listen. All these would be okay. There's nothing wrong with them. If your priority is your priority. But when the morning came, they didn't even know. Jesus, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now listen to carefully. I'm teaching you what led to the love. Jesus saw that they had lost their love. He said, now do you love me? Watch this. Verse 5. But then Jesus said to them, children, you don't love me, but I love you. You're still my children. Children, have you any meat? The answer was no. Children, did you catch any fish? Did you catch any fish? Have you prospered? You were expected to prosper by now. Have you prospered? No. We didn't get that job. You come back crying. Children, Jesus Christ still comes. My children. Children, come back. Children. Then Jesus comes and put his arms around you. No problem. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. You're still my children. Children, that's the love of Christ. Children, did you catch any meat? No. It didn't work, right? That marriage didn't work, right? That job didn't work, right? That prayer didn't seem to be answered, right? You're still sick, right? You're still owing. You ate the tithe, but you're still owing. Children, did it make any difference? You said you would disobey. You still are owing. You are even worse off than before. Yesterday, something really touched my life. Two church members were having a conversation. One was asking, help me to pay my rent because my money is coming at maybe a certain time. And then the other said, oh, I'll help you. I'll give you some money to help with your rent. And then the person whose rent was not paid spoke to the guy and said, look, by the way, I have money to pay the rent, eh? But only is my tithe that I put aside. I put it aside. So when I was calling you, I know that I didn't want to touch the tithe because I'm sending it to church tomorrow. But I can use this tithe and then pay off my rent. They're about to evict me, but I didn't want to do it. So called the friend. Can you help me? I'll pay you next week. That touched my heart. And so the person called me to ask that, hey, this is a very spiritual person. Eh? Is it right? Is it not okay to just pay and then rather borrow from the money and go? And so the brother has decided not to touch it. Leave him alone. That's his relationship with his God. If it's God's money, I will not even borrow. Actually, it's in the Bible that when you borrow from the tithe, you pay an interest of 20%. It was a way of God not to become a businessman, but to prevent you from falling into temptation. But it touched me about that person, that this is how he thinks about God. He's so real. The word has become flesh. That I have the money here, but I'd rather be evicted than tap into God's money. It touched me. No wonder he was helped by another. But that person who helped is now being ministered to man. This is a serious Christian. I have to be like that. Now, Jesus loves such people. Do you have any meat? No problem. I'm here. Jesus is here. They answered, no. Now, look at that. Verse 6. And he said to them, watch this. Cast your net on the right side. The same place that they went. And they caught nothing. He said, now I'm back into your life. I'm going to teach you that the source of all provision is me. Those of us who have kept God at the back bench, not in the forefront. I go out fishing. When I get something, I'll think about you. Taking it by yourself. Me, since I became a Christian, I came to this church and they taught me that God's work, I live to serve God and to take care of his sheep. I've not even gone to a Bible school. But you like my preaching, I know. You knew I was preaching and you came. Next week to you will come by the grace of God. Yeah. You know it's me preaching. You know I'm even a doctor. He's not a preacher. He's not a priest. But you love it. You know I'm telling you the truth. He said, no problem. Cast your net on the right side of the ship. He knows where the fish is. You don't. When somebody who knows how to take care of you says, leave me to take care of you and you take care of my own, you will not be smart to surrender. You have been taking care of yourself. You got nothing. Somebody says, now, you take care of my children. I'll take care of you. That's what babysitting is. Take care of my children. I will take care of you. So that you can take care of your children. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I will take care of you. Take care of my children. Bosco my sheep. I will take care of you. You'll be able to take care of everything. I know where the fish is. What your own efforts without God brought nothing. I will show you where to find it. Ever since I took on the burden of soul winning, taking care of God's sheep, taking care of ungrateful people. Not you, but some people are very ungrateful. Taking care of inactive church members who don't want to do anything apart from catching fish for themselves. Ever since I started doing that, I know that some of you, I shouldn't even say it. You say when you grow up, you want to be like me. Some of the church members, some of them are even more grown than me. No, no. What it means is that do the things that treat Jesus the way I treat Jesus. Because when you grow up, growth will not make you like me. But treating Jesus, loving Jesus will make you like me. If that is, if you feel there's anything worthy of copying from my life. Then say amen. Don't go to China. There's coronavirus. Don't get Chinese eyes. You go to China. There's coronavirus there. Say God forbid. So anybody who's sleeping, you are going to China, that you are visiting coronavirus, don't go. Tell somebody, don't go to China. There's coronavirus. You are not a Chinese. Say amen. Now listen carefully. He said, and they cast therefore, and now they cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. You shall tell somebody, you shall find. You shall find. You shall find. You shall find. Say somebody, I shall find. What was not there will be there. Look, I won't lie to you. It's more profitable, even if you talk finances, to serve God than not to serve God. It's more profitable. Even if you are someone who likes money, like my Nigerian brother here, Pastor Daniel, and then brother, like Vincent. Yes, Pastor Daniel told me that one day he went and found money on the floor. He said, this is where the money, from that day he walks there every time. Yeah. Look, I believe Jacob was a Nigerian. Nigerians, everything, they do it well. Yeah. Dribbling, they do it well. Serving God, they do. The biggest churches in Nigeria, in the Guinness Book of Records. Yeah. The biggest thief is also there. Yeah. Somebody said he's moved to Ghana. He's moved to Ghana. It's true. Now, I'm serious. I'm serious. The best Christians I've seen, I'm serious. Best Christians. Yeah. You talk about 419, it's there. Area code. It's an area code. Now, listen carefully. Why do I say Jacob was a Nigerian? Because when Jacob was a thief, and then he found a place that God is here. Huh? God is this place, and I didn't even know. Do you know what he did? He signed a contract immediately with God. He signed, they said, God, now that I know you are here, he put a stone there, poured oil on it. In Genesis 28, he said three contracts articles of impeachment. He said, Lord, now that you are here, if you protect me where I'm going, you bring me back safely. One, that's your part of the contract. You provide for me food and shelter, clothing. Yeah. And everything works. Three things. When I come, number one, I'll make this house your house. And number two, of all that you give me, I'll give you a tenth of it. I'll give you a tithe. Number three, say, you shall be my Lord, my God. Yeah. Genesis 28, verse 22. And the stone which I've set to a pillar shall be God's house. He said, I'll build your house. And of all that you give me, surely I'll give you a tenth of it. That's it. From verse 20 to 22 was a contract. If I was you, I would become a Nigerian today. I'll become a Jacob today. Spiritual, Pastor Daniel says spiritual Nigerian. No, I'm serious. This is what I've learned about Pastor Daniel. And I'm learning from Vincent as well. Yeah. Yesterday he brought me a business proposal for the church members. So yes, this is the kind of thing I'm looking for. Listen, Jesus was telling them, if you're smart, I'm going to show you a sign. And then he showed them, cast your net. Now they found. They found. And listen to what they did. They found. And then they drew their net. that the cast therefore, and now they were not even able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The overflow. I'm talking about your life from now. If you sign that contract to be a shepherd, to take care of God's people, to be somebody who catches men, not just fishes. You're too busy cutting fishes and you're not finding the fishes. Can't you see? You can't even find them. You're tired. You're getting tired. Thank you. You're getting tired. You're getting frustrated. You're getting disappointed about life. This morning, I spoke to somebody who was tired and disappointed with God and God's people. And I taught him a little lesson. Yeah. The person had called. He's calling the church. Called the church. He said, are you pastor? Are you a pastor of Lighthouse? I said, I'm one of them. This said, put his case, her case across. I said, okay, no problem. I'll help you. Now, from the help, from about 8 o'clock, he said, if I don't help by 11 o'clock, the thing will get spoiled. From 8 o'clock to 9:30, she called about 10 times. Wow. 10 times. I was getting irritated at a point. Because I had already called to make arrangements for the person already. But they didn't allow because they said they want to see me physically so that I can give the help. So I said, no problem, I'll come. I'll get there. But I had to prepare to come and preach. The lady was pushing and pressing. So I picked the phone again. I said, hey, sister. Yeah, I've got things to do, okay? I am helping. I've even called the place. I'm setting up. Yeah, but, you know, it's taking too long. I said, what do you mean? Then I calmed down and I said, let me minister to her. Right, so I started telling her, what's the problem? Can I pray with you? And started telling me, oh, yeah. Do you believe? Why are you not in church anyway on this Sunday morning? I said, well, you know, let me tell you, church folk are this and that and this and that. Church folk are like that, so I've decided I'm not going, it's hard. And then I explained to her that, you see, you said church folk are like that. I'm a church folk. Yeah, I'm one of them. I said, you don't even believe what you are saying, because if you did, you wouldn't have called me.
That's right.
And I explained that if church folk are terrible, I said, church is like a hospital. The day you find a hospital where there are no patients with diseases, don't go there. Because you will not make it perfect anymore. The day you find a perfect church, don't join it. You will make it impure. Contaminated. And I said, if you drink water and it gives you diarrhea, will you tell yourself, I won't drink water anymore? No, you find another source that is cleaner. I said, there are cleaner sources of water, okay? They're better. There are great people in church. There are great people in church as well. Stop it. Because of that, you say no water. Then you will die. That's why you are dying. I said, you don't believe it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have called me. You knew it was a church and you called me. And I'm helping you and you're even insisting. You are the same way person. That's why you don't go to church. Yeah. And gradually, we talked nice and then she gave her life to Christ and all that. Amen. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Multitude of fishes. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Said, this is the Lord. Do you know why he said that? He said, it is the Lord. Because he realized, man, we've done this thing. It didn't work. When we refocused on obeying him, look at what has happened. It is only Jesus. Then when you put your problems aside, and say, I'll try again, but this time I'll walk in obedience. He's the one who makes things change like that. It is the Lord. This is a sign that God has come back. Jesus has come back into your business. You have obeyed him. It is the Lord. And Simon Peter, when he heard that it was the Lord, he got his fisher's coat unto himself, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. I need another washing. Then verse 8. And the other disciples came into the little ship, for they were not far from land. As it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. You see? They were all looking. It means that they were also having nothing. So when they saw, hey, this brother has got fish, let me also go and obey Jesus. Maybe I'll get fish too. When you see somebody who's taking care of the children of God, the people of God, and God seems to be working on his side, join that person. Join that person. Let's join Bishop Doug to win souls. Let's join this mission of Christ. Stop being selfish. Because it is the Lord's work. It is the Lord. It's not Pastor Lindsay. It is the Lord. It's not just an ordinary man that you saw. It is the Lord. This year we shall all become shepherds. This year we shall all take care of God's sheep. This year we shall all be fishers of men. This year we will put our focus a little bit away from the fishes of fish. Fishes, and become fishers of men. And so that we can all say, it is the Lord. 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 Somebody will look at your life and say, it is the Lord. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. Do you know that song? It is Jesus in my soul. While I have touched the hem of his garment and his blood made me. Tell somebody it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. Oh, it's Jesus in my soul. While I have touched the hem of his garment and his blood made me whole. Do you know the verse? I've tried all I could. Bring us the words. Anyway, whatever it is. Don't tell Lady Pastor I couldn't sing. This is the Aramaic version that I sung. You couldn't even interpret the tongues. Now, let's go on to the verse. But I've tried. Oh, it seems like nothing did me any good. And I heard Jesus that he was passing by. And I decided to give him a try. Try Jesus. Try taking care of his children. Try becoming a shepherd. Try Jesus again. Try Jesus again. I've tried. Oh, I could. And it seems like nothing did me any good. Then I heard Jesus, he was passing by, and I decided to give him a try. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. Oh, it's Jesus in my soul. While I have touched the hem of his garment and his blood made me whole. Sit down. As we close. No, sit down. All communion stars, please sit down. Please. Communion stars, sit back. We're not doing communion now. Please. Sit back. Now, look at this, the scripture. Let me connect it and then we go. Verse 8. And the other disciples came and joined, dragging the net. Please, join me. Amen. There's so much fish. There's so much unbelievers. Amen. There's so many disappointed folk in the world. There's so much work to be done. Jesus Christ says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will bring forth laborers into the harvest. Why should God look for laborers outside when he has all of you? Rose, you're too selfish. You're a selfish girl. Very selfish. Very selfish. I'm telling you, all of us are very selfish. Jesus Christ said, all men seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. It's very selfish. Vampires drinking the blood of Jesus Christ without sharing it. Drinking the blood that was given to us to sprinkle for the world. And his blood has made you alone whole. Shame on you, shameless church member. Shame on you. Selfish you. I mean you. And it's not the people who didn't come. I'm talking about you who's here. Yeah. Shame on you. HA people are shame. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed. You drink it like blood of human vampires, Christian vampires, who drink all the blood for ourselves. We leave nothing for anybody. When we get out there, all is just about us. Shame on you, church. Shame on church folk. Shame on church. We are the reason why the world is suffering. The world is wallowing in darkness. The world is going to hell. You will see when you get to heaven. You see when you get to heaven. You are getting offended because of what I said. Shame on you for getting offended. Vampires. Christian vampires who have taken the blood of Jesus Christ literally and drank it all so that nobody can have it from you. When you see the communion and the pastor is not drinking it all and sharing with you, it's a sign to you. Where is your communion that you are sharing with the world? Where's your communion? He brought them. Come, let's drag. Let's drag the net. The thing you didn't find. Eh? Find Jesus. Find his vision. Find his sheep. And drag along. And see your fish. And see your net get full. I'm telling you honestly. Unless you don't do it with your heart. James, it doesn't matter. If you can sing well and without souls, souls are more important than your voice. You're doing the right thing if you're going to the presence. Gather them and bring them to the house of the Lord and let them serve here. And listen to what happened to them. Listen to what happened. That's how Jesus explained that you don't love me. I'm trying to tell you the basis of that. How did it get to that point of Jesus telling the chief of the church that you don't have no love for Jesus? I don't know what chief, what elder you are, what kind of shepherd you are, how old you are, what kind of position you hold, whether you are the head of the ashes, whether you are the head of the, you are praise and worship leader. If you are not into souls, I have an announcement for you. Jesus says you don't love him. It can be Peter, the first pope. He's telling the pope, Peter, the first pope, that you don't love me. See, they came dragging the net. And then verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw fire, of course, and the fish was laid thereon, and bread. Jesus, you are looking for fish. Jesus is even adding fire, adding bread. What you thought is what you need. You don't even know that you need more. The man who was a leper, who was healed, Jesus came and made him whole. His blood will make you whole. He added fish. He added bread. Your life will be better than you even expect it to be. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And then verse 10. Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. The same thing I made it. It's for you. Bring the fish. I brought you bread. I brought you fish. I brought you fire. But I'm going to cook for you now. Watch this. Verse 11. Just put cooked for them. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fishes. 153. For all, there were so many. Yet the net was not broken. Sometimes a blessing can become a curse for you. You have a child, and the child is a problem for you. But the kind that Jesus comes, brings with, no, it won't destroy you. It will help you. And then verse 11, I don't know what you're doing, but if you think you are busy, that's why you don't have time. I'm busier than you. I'm busier than you. I'm busier than you. Jesus said to them, come and dine. Come and eat. I've cooked. Come. And none of the disciples even asked, who are you? Because they knew, knowing that it was the Lord. Look, the Lord is going to bless you to a point. Eh? You know that your abilities cannot do it. It's only the Lord. I tell you, that thing is real. Eh? And then you wonder, how did I get here? You got there by walking in obedience, in love with the Lord. Taking care of God's own. That's how you got there, to a point where, how did this get here? They all could not believe it. Because they knew that it was the Lord. God is going to do something for you. You will know that only God can do it. Because your efforts couldn't do it. And then verse 12. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them. And fish likewise. He will feed you. You will not just, he will take care of you to a point. Feeding, when anybody puts food in your mouth, the person says, I will love you. He will love you. You will see. Watch it. This year is our year of the shepherd. You will see the love of the Lord. And then verse 13, verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen. Listen, when Jesus died, he revealed himself. For some of you, it may even be the seventh time God has spoken this thing to you. He's dead, but he's revealing his vision. He's revealing himself. Some of you have been called to come and help, but you're being selfish. He doesn't mind doing it multiple times for your sake, just because he knows that he wants to help you. And then even then, he couldn't see it. Then he had to tell them in verse 15, Simon, when they had finished eating, Jesus said, do you love me? Feed my flock. Now that you've seen, now that your eyes have been opened to who I am, what I'm looking for, feed my flock. And he said it three times with emphasis, feed my flock. Don't come here next Sunday without a sheep. Amen. Whatever it takes, try. Make it your effort. Everyone, no matter how old, how young, don't come. Tell the person sitting by you, you won't sit by me next week. Tell the person, don't sit by me. No, look into the person's eye. Don't sit by me. Because somebody else will be sitting by me. My sheep will be sitting by me. Esther, tell your sister, somebody else will be sitting by me. Listen, that person will be the source of Jesus manifesting himself and feeding you and causing your nets to be full. Start this week. Our year of shepherding has been begun, has been instituted, has been launched in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And who is the master of all this? The focus is you. You are the reason why I was instituted. Everyone, not just Peter, but everybody else who had gone a fishing with Peter, were coming home. I cannot claim to be pure in this matter. I know that I dragged all of you together, but recently I've not been as active. I've made a decision. It has been in my dream. I've made my decision. I'm going to even visit all of you one by one because it's been a while. Some of you, when I'm coming to visit you, you say, oh, no, it's not time. No problem. If you say it's not, I'll move on to the next person. But next week, I'm going to take care of God's sheep. As you bring more, I will still take care of them, and you will help me to take care of them. Amen. We'll rearrange the church. You will become a deacon. You will become a shepherd. You become a preacher. You become an area fellowship leader. You become a cell group leader. Something that will fail, cause your net to be full. Otherwise, if I leave you as you are, you'll become a vampire. Christian, drinking the blood of Jesus Christ and not sharing it. Because Jesus told Paul to tell the people that there is no man like-minded in Philippians 2, 20 and 21. There's no man who has this mind who will naturally care for the things, for the sheep. Care. You don't care. People don't care. Bring it up. There is no man. He said, people are not like that. Who naturally, let it be a natural thing that you care for the things that the state of the sheep, the state of the world. But he said, verse 21, but all men, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. It will never be you. Your selfishness is erased. Your selfishness goes away in the name of Jesus Christ. You are no longer a Christian vampire. You are no longer a Christian. Emilia, don't be a vampire. Don't drink the blood of Jesus Christ and leave other people wallowing in death and hell. It's a bad thing, and Jesus laments over it. Do you love him? Show it. From now on, we're going to turn the church from all members to become servants, all members to become shepherds, all fishers of fish to be fishers of men. And I can assure you, I'll not leave you out. Don't leave me out. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I can assure you, I'm coming after you big time in Jesus' name. Yeah. Coming after you in particular. Tell somebody, we're coming after, Jesus is coming after you. And it's going to fill your net. And it's going to feed you. It's going to cook for you. How many want a husband who cooks for you? The other time I served my wife breakfast in bed. She has not stopped. You will talk about your miracle. You will have testimonies. Testimonies. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. Vic, while I have touched the hem of Vic, his garment and his blood made the verse. Let's all sing the verse. I've tried.
I've tried
all I could. They didn't bring that part. Of always nothing did me any good. Okay, Spencer, take it up from there. Then I heard Jesus. He was passing by. And I decided to give him a try. Sing. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Oh, oh, oh.
In my soul.
In my soul. While I have touched the hem of his garment. Hem of his garment. And his blood has made me whole. Put your hand on your heart. Confess it. I love Jesus. No matter what it seems like. No matter how it seems like. I will love Jesus more than this fish. Jesus asked, do you love me more than these? More than these fishes I've given you? More than the bread I've given you? Do you love me more than the fish? More than the miracles I've shown you? Many of us, we love the miracles. We love the fish Jesus brings. Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me more than the things I bring? More than your job? More than your children? More than your school? More than your salary? Do you love me more than money? Do you love me more than all these things I've provided for you? Jesus is the one who has provided all, including your job, that is making you fight Jesus. Do you love me more than this? My message is still here. I haven't even started. Next week I'll start. This is the introduction. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I have 10 points. This is the introduction, by the grace of God. We are going to become fishers of men. A church that loves Jesus. A church free of vampires. A church that gets to heaven with fruits, with sheep. Malika, somebody's going to follow you. There are a lot of people that you can come along with. Let it be real this time. This place will be filled. Young people, you are not exempt. There are people that you can speak to. Don't just come and dance. All right? Come with your friends. Come with somebody and let heaven testify that you didn't come there alone. Put your hand on your heart and tell the Lord, I repent. I don't feel guilty. I feel repentant. I feel sad for what I've done. But I'm making a U-turn. Just like Peter did. Peter washed himself in the same water that produced the fish and ran to Jesus. And he was told, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Father, give everybody a testimony to know that this is of the Lord. This is of the Lord. This is of the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. May you change us from spiritual vampires to selfless Christians who are soul winners. May you change us from fishers of fish to fishers of men, so that you will carry the fish to us as we bring the men to you. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. And all the saints shall say, amen.
We believe that the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.